You're listening to the podcast, So You Want to Be a Writer, with Valerie Koo and Allison Tate. Valerie is an author, journalist, and national director of the Australian Writers' Centre, which is one of the world's leading providers of online and classroom courses for people who want to get published and write with confidence.
Allison Tate is a freelance writer, blogger, and author of the best-selling series, The Mapmaker Chronicles. She has more than 20 years professional writing experience.
Each week they explore the world of writing, publishing and blogging to bring you news and opportunities, advice on how to succeed in the world of writing, interviews with top writers and much more. With students enrolling from all over the world, you can find out more about the Australian Writers' Centre at writerscentre.com.au.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 188 of So You Want to Be a Writer. My name's Valerie Koo and I'm here with Allison Tate. How are you, Al?
I'm okay. Thanks, Valerie. And you? How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's been happening in the Al's world?
I am copy editing again.
Right.
Still.
Yes.
I don't know. I've just had one of those years, haven't I, where pretty much every time you speak to me, I'm doing some form of editing. So I'm back in the trenches.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Like last year I spent pretty much writing, and this year, yes, I guess as a repercussion of that, I have spent most of the year doing some form of editing. So I'm on to the edits of my third book in the last, I don't know, how long have we been talking about edits here? At least 9 months, haven't we? So, I'm on to the copy edit for the third book that I have edited in the last 9 months.
Do you find yourself in a routine or a cycle yet? And what I mean by that is, you know, that we often speak to authors and they actually have a yearly routine where this month of the year, every year, is when they write. This month of the year is when they edit. This particular month of the year is when they do their promotion or whatever. And they just follow that cycle. And do you find you're in a cycle, or are you doing too many things to be in a cycle?
I think, to be honest, I'm doing too many things. I think at the moment, just given the kind of publishing schedule that I've had, I'm in too much of a sort of, as I said, I spent last year writing. I did 4 manuscripts in about 13 months last year. And then this year, it's really all about editing, promoting. I have done like minimal writing thus far, which worries me a little bit. We're at July, but I'm also working on a book currently that's coming out next March. So I'm sort of, because my books have been coming out every 6 months, I had the 3 Mapmaker books come out, you know, 6 months apart from October 2014 till October 2015, the first 3 came out. So there were 3 out in the first year. Then I've done sort of like a whole year of getting organised and writing. And then the 4th book in the Mapmaker Chronicles came out in, you know, March this year. And then I've got the first 2 books in the Adaban Cipher coming out September and then March. And then, you know, it's like, well, what's the next thing going to be? I think as we discussed in the last episode, I'm working on a new idea, but I'm not even 100% sure that that's going to be my next book, because it may well be that it will be a 5th Mapmaker book, or maybe it will be a 3rd Adaban Cipher book. And I'm just sort of like not, you know, I'm still at that point where I'm really working things out, because I'm writing a series, and because they're coming out so quickly, so close together, an actual routine for me at this point is not. I'm not doing a book a year, so it's not like I can do, I'm going to write for 6 months, I'm going to promote for 3 months, I'm going to, you know, edit for 3 months. I'm just not at that. I'm not in that cycle at this point, no.
Yeah, you've got so much going on. I'm curious to know, with because your first books were actually nonfiction books, is that right? That's right. You wrote nonfiction books first before writing all of these so many fiction books. I'm curious to know whether you think you would ever write a nonfiction book again.
I would definitely write another nonfiction book if I thought of something that I really wanted to write it about. I think the next nonfiction, the first few nonfiction books that I wrote. The first book I ever wrote was written at the invitation of someone else because it was a ghostwritten book. Then I was actually approached again because I was at that point writing a whole lot of finance stories for a very big website, and I was approached by a nonfiction publisher to put together a proposal. They were doing a new series of nonfiction books, and they asked me to put together a proposal for one of those, which I did, and then I wrote that. And then the next one that came along was it was something that I pitched it with someone else, but it was a topic that probably wasn't my major passion, but it was definitely something that I was interested in, and I knew that the person who I did it with a friend of mine, Kate Sykes. It's a book called Career Mums, and it was all about, you know, getting back to work. And we had met again through journalism because I was at that point writing a lot of stories in that space of, you know, parenting. And again, it was finance because we were looking at basically, I used to talk to her about, I used to interview her for stories about how to, you know, organize your finances. You know, if you were having a baby, you knew you were going to have time off. We used to do stories about, you know, parental leave and all that. Anyway, so in the due course of doing those stories together, we came up with the idea for this book and we pitched that, and then that got taken up as well. So they weren't necessarily passion projects for me so much as they made sense, you know, at the time. And I think if I was going to do a nonfiction book again, it would need to be something that I really wanted to write about.
Really passionate about.
Yeah. It would need to be a subject that I, you know, really wanted to research and was particularly passionate about. So, I would never say no to it because I really enjoy it. Like I feature, you know, it's to me a nonfiction book is basically a very sensible and well thought out, strategically placed series of feature articles. So, you know, that are linked. Obviously, you need a narrative with those, but that's how I sort of approached the whole process of writing them. So, I would definitely do it again because I enjoy that, and I like to. I like the research aspect of them. So, and but, of you course, know, what that would be, I don't know.
Of course, you have so much free time in order to do that as well.
Well, this is this is the other thing too, because you've got to think about it's about prioritizing. You know, as we've discussed, you know, so many times before, you only have a certain number of allocated hours, and when you're me at the moment, you have, you know, not that many of those, and so you kind of like got to think about what your where your priorities are, and what do you really want to do next. And what I'm feeling passionate about doing next is my new idea for another middle grade, you know, fiction book or potential series. So that's where all my thoughts and efforts are going at the moment. But that's not to say that I'm not going to be struck down by some brilliant, you know, nonfiction idea down the track that I will put everything aside for. But it's not really where my interest lies right now.
Yeah, sure. Well, in the meantime, we want to give a shout out to Hayley Lauren, because Hayley has kindly left us a review on iTunes, and she's called it "The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword." And Hayley has said, "I just discovered your podcasts in the last month and have been devouring your content. You ladies rock and give such amazing advice." Wow.
Thanks for that.
Has that made your day? It's made my day.
I really love hearing that, you know, I mean, because, you know, so often it's very easy for us to kind of, I just feel like we sit here and chat to each other every week, and I sort of think to myself, God, what are we doing? And then we hear from people about how much it matters and how useful it is, and I am, you know, given, because I, you know, listening to myself babble on for an hour is...
Thank you so much, Hayley. We really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And if any other listeners have 30 seconds to leave us a review or rating on iTunes, we'd really be grateful because it certainly helps us in the rankings. So it'd be great if you have the time to do that. Now, I want to give another shout out to Kia Steele. Now, Kia, it kind of freaked me out a bit because... regular listeners will know that I had some issues with my contact lenses from time to time, and I've lost one in the back of my eye, and I kind of hope that it'll come.
Oh, I forgot about it. let's not bring that up again.
I kind of hope it's going to come out. Well, one day it did come out 5 days later, and I just assume that they're going to come out at some point. And I thought I was going crazy the other day because actually it's got nothing to do with writing, but I just want to thank Kia Steele for what I'm about to say. So I thought I lost another one the other day, and I thought I couldn't possibly have, you know, my eye could not have possibly sucked it in because I thought I must have just dropped it somewhere or something. So, you know, that was the end of that. But then Kia kindly, she's obviously been listening to the podcast, and she kindly sent me this link to a situation in the UK where doctors were operating on this lady's eye and they found 27 contact lenses in
the Stop.
So I thought, yeah, that's it. It obviously somehow my eye sucked in that lens that I thought I might have dropped. So, yeah, freaky, right? So I totally freaked out after I read that and realized my initial hunch might have been true. But anyway, thank you, Kia, for letting me know. On a different note, though, a totally different note, and I'm so sorry if I've grossed everyone out.
Where do you even go with that? I don't even know what to do with that. I'm so sorry, people. If you don't know what to do with that, I don't know what to do with that either. I feel we should move on. 27?
Yeah, 27. Unbelievable, right?
That's so it's just possible. Weird.
Anyway, yes, let's just move on. Big announcement. I am so excited to tell everyone that we have a new presenter in our Melbourne courses for our courses in magazine and newspaper writing. None other than the very talented Wendy Squires.
Get out.
No, not get out. Get in.
I'm going to do that course. She's amazing.
She's amazing. I didn't know
that. Did you seriously keep that from me just so that I could respond?
It's just, yeah.
Is that what you were doing?
Big news, right?
That's so cool.
Yeah, so Wendy.
Does that mean she'll be coming to presenter lunches so that I can get sit next to her and we can exchange funny stories? Because I would think that would be fun.
Melbourne presenter lunches, yes.
Well, bring her up. Come on. Yeah. I'm worth it.
Okay. So Wendy, if for those of you who aren't familiar with Wendy, she's just such an experienced journalist. And she has been a journalist and editor for more than 25 years. She's been editor of Clio, which is where I first met her, and Australian Style magazines. She's had senior roles at Who Weekly, The Australian Women's Weekly, Madison, Women's Day. She created the Body and Soul insert for News Limited. She's written for everyone from Cosmo to Good Health to Men's Style to Elle, you know, everyone. And she's worked at Channel 9. She has a syndicated column for The Age, which I love reading. It's excellent. And, yeah, she's an all-round amazing journo. And if you have the opportunity to learn from her, you should definitely, definitely snap it up. So she's going to be teaching a course, I think, coming up in August in Melbourne at the Australian Writers' Centre. So you should definitely enrol.
Immediately,
because it's a great opportunity.
And I will tweet you from the next lunch that she comes to.
Yes. Okay.
I'll be putting Insta selfies up.
Insta selfies. All right. So let's move on to some listener questions because this is our mini-sode, which is the episode that I cannot not speaking properly today, that we release in between our regular programming and where we answer listener questions and sometimes have mini interviews. We have a couple of really interesting questions today sent from our listeners. And this first one is actually from Hayley. And Hayley has said, hi, Val and Al. She's interested in doing the freelance course. And I have to say, you should enroll in Wendy Squire's course. But anyway, she's saying.
Or you could do my course online.
Of course. You could do the online course with Alison, which is also the magazine and newspaper writing course.
She was just as excited when I joined the team, everyone. It's just that, you know, familiarity breeds contempt.
That's not true. So, Hayley says, I'm studying PR and communications at university, but have always wanted to be a writer, just never had the full confidence to pursue it until listening to your podcasts and realizing that it is possible. So, thank you so much for giving such wonderful advice and confidence to your listeners. It's truly appreciated. I'm curious to know what you both think of online platforms like Wattpad, where authors share their work for free. Most of the works are drowning in fan fiction, but some of the authors have had success in it, going on to release ebooks and then on to being published. Thank you for all your hard work, Hayley. That's a really good question, isn't it, Al?
It is, Val, and I'd be fascinated to hear your thoughts on that. Did you see how deftly I did that?
Yes, very, very clever. So Wattpad is basically, as Hayley has mentioned, an online platform where you can upload your stories, you can read other people's stories, you can share your stories, you can upload entire stories, or you can do it, you know, kind of like drip it out chapter by chapter if you want as well. And the thing with something like Wattpad, which is very much based on a community, because it's, if you don't have, if you don't become part of the community, really you can just be publishing it on your blog, right? So it is for people who want to read other people's work and also to share their work. The thing with something like Wattpad, it's almost like, if you think of it like Facebook, is it good to be on Facebook? Should you be on Facebook? You get what you put into it. So if you think you're going to go on Wattpad and just publish your work and then hope and then think that HarperCollins is going to discover you, or a major publisher is going to discover you, that's not very likely. You actually need to become part of the community and you need to contribute regularly. So it depends on whether you want to put in the effort is my opinion. No one, you don't just publish on Wattpad and suddenly by magic you have success. You have to work just as much in your contributions and in your being part of the community of Wattpad as if you were trying to get published traditionally. You're just doing a different thing, you know what I mean? So I think that if you enjoy it, go do it. If you find your tribe and your community and you have friends there or whatever, go do it. But if you are going to put in so much effort and you're not, and you're hoping that that is your path to publication as opposed to you're actually enjoying it, then put that effort, the same amount of effort, into getting published traditionally, because it's work either way. You got to put in the effort either way. So you just got to choose where you're going to spend your time. If you just love it and enjoy it, go nuts. But if it's, but I would also argue that you got to remember that it's going to take time. It's going to be a big investment of your time, not of money. You may as well, if you want, you could put that time and investment and effort and networking or whatever towards being discovered by traditional publishers the regular way. So that's kind of like my thoughts on it anyway. What do you think, Al?
Yeah, obviously Wattpad's been around for a while and there have been some big success stories out of Wattpad, but they do tend to be, it's like all forms of publishing, you know, big success stories tend to be outliers in many ways. There is one author in my network who her second book was probably published as a result of her being on Wattpad. Her name is Emily, and I think it's Benet, B-E-N-E-T. Sorry, I've never actually, you know, said it out loud, so I'm not exactly sure. So she basically serialized a novel up on Wattpad, got like 2 million, you know, page views or whatever it was, and then the book came out with, you know, a book came out through HarperCollins under a different name later. But I think it's like I'm just not someone who – it's not for me. I'll say that, you know, up front. And but that's – a lot of that is to do with the fact that I probably I have a real antithesis towards putting my words up on a website, because as far as I'm concerned, once they go up onto the internet like that in any community, you know, if you're serializing a novel in that way, it's kind of gone. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you put your words up online, they're kind of gone as far as your ownership of them is concerned. And so it's not really how I would go about sort of like drawing attention to my fiction. I prefer to blog in the sense of, you know, I write, build a community that way. I'm writing about something that's not necessarily my books, but I am also, you know, in that sense, drawing people in with my writing. And then, of course, you know, the books are quite separate. And that's just my preference. But, you know, as I said, the world is a different place to what it used to be. And, you know, things are moving on. And I think it just depends on what you're doing it for. I think you have to have a really clear vision in your mind of why you're doing it. And as you said, if it's because you want to be part of a community, because you enjoy getting, you know, sort of feedback and all of that sort of stuff on your work, and because, you know, people are, you know, you get that instant gratification of people, you're seeing that people are reading and enjoying your work, and that's great.
Yeah.
But if your long-term goal is you know, a traditional publishing deal, it's probably not necessarily the way I would go about doing it.
Yeah. I just think for the time investment, there are other ways to get traditionally published. Mm. But if you enjoy it, then go for your life, just for the pure enjoyment, I reckon. Yep. So hopefully that helps, Hayley. Now we have a quite a different question, and this is from Andrew, and Andrew's referring to writing for magazines. So Andrew has said, at the end of an interview for a story, I was writing for a magazine, my interviewee asked a question. And the question was, would it be possible to see the article before it goes to print? And Andrew's response was, no, as that's not my practice to do so, as if I allowed it to happen, I wouldn't have time to file any articles. So Andrew has asked, how would you both respond? It's the second time someone has asked me that, and I've replied in the same vein, but I'd like a way to deal with it concisely. There you go. I'm going to throw to you, Al.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple of things at play here. Like the biggest difficulty, I think, with having people read your interviews before you send them off is that, or, you know, put it this way, if you're going to have someone have a look at the story before, you know, once you're done with it, you definitely need to do that before you send it off to an editor. You're not ever going to be able to do it afterwards. So there's that, right? So make sure if any of this goes on, it's going to happen before, well before the submission date, for starters. But the biggest danger of it is that you can take down a quote word for word, and you can take down a quote within context, and you can use it within context. Mm. And the minute you actually type it out and put it on the printed page and send that to someone, and it takes out all the expression, and it takes out, it sort of gives the words more weight. The minute that you actually write them down, the words have more weight. And then you send that back to the person who said those words in that exact, you know, order, in that exact context, and they don't like them. They don't like the way it looks, because, as I said, the minute that it's printed, the minute it's written down, it, you know, the words have a lot more weight than if you actually just say them in a throwaway way, because, of course, you know, the spoken word is a very, you know, momentary, instant thing, whereas the written word is a record. And so this is the problem that you have. And the other difficulty you have is if you send the entire article, that they're going to want to correct every single thing that you've written, and they won't like your grammar, and you generally find out they want to move the commas, which, of course, I'm only speaking not from experience here at all. So you need to be very, very careful with it. So if you have someone and you're dealing with something that is, you know, legally questionable, or there's, you know, there's, you really, really have to get it right, then what I would do is send the quotes only, just so that they can be sure that they're happy with the order of the words and the context. Make sure it happens before you've actually even, like, you know, before you've even thought about submitting the article to the editor. And most of the time, just say, no, that's not possible. Because it's just, you know, it's like people are happy to say stuff to you in an interview, and then they will read it, and there's you know, what they've said is completely innocuous, you know, most of the time. What's been said is totally innocuous, and they will have a problem with it. And if you have a case study that gets cold feet and pulls out on you at the last minute because they don't like the way that you've put one sentence in the story or something, then it's, you know, you're going to cause yourself a world of pain. So either get in very early and send just the quotes themselves, not the entire story, or don't do it.
Yeah. That's great advice.
Is that what you would say? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That the sentiment is pretty much spot on. So I would generally say, like, let's say it's The Age or whatever, I would just say, oh, it's not The Age's policy to do that. You know, can you imagine if the Prime Minister got to review all of every article that he was quoted in? And that usually works. But if they are a bit nervous, or, you know, or particularly keen, I agree, it would be their quotes only, because in the, you know, past, I have sent the whole article and they've corrected other people's quotes, which is insane, because they're not they're not their quotes. They've decided to rewrite other people's quotes. So I've definitely stopped. I definitely don't send them the whole article. So you're right, it's quotes only. But the way I get the other thing I do is that the biggest concern then for me is actually time, because people think that they can sit on it for 3 weeks and then come back to you with edits.
Yeah.
So I will say to them, I can't, but I'm happy to run the quotes by you. I will read them to you over the phone. And when I call, because I'm on deadline, when I call you, you need to call me back within half an hour or it goes to print. And it's always worked. So people have pulled themselves out of meetings to listen to the quotes. And so I will just read them the quotes, because usually when they hear it, as you say, it sounds fine. It's when it's written they feel the need to tinker.
Yeah, that's right. So, and the other problem you have too is that the best feature article is never going to recount the entire story, because recounting the entire story is not the point of what you're doing. And what a lot of people want you to do is just recount the entire story, whereas you're always going to choose the quotes, the angle that best suits the article that you're actually writing. And you know, it's, and then they say, oh, but you didn't put this bit in and you didn't put that bit in. And it's like, well, yeah, because it's not relevant to what I'm actually doing. But they might feel that that's the most important thing that they said. Yeah. So, you know, and you really don't want to get into that argument. You don't want to be having that conversation unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. All right. Well, we hope that that has been helpful for you, Andrew. And if anyone would like us to answer a listener question, then email your question to us, podcast@writerscentre.com.au. That's podcast@writerscentre.com.au. So there you go. Our mini episode is quite mini today, but
it is
done
and dusted.
They're all about. So where do we find you online, Al?
You'll find me at alisontait.com, alisontait.com. You will find me on Twitter at Al Tait, ALTAIT. And you will find me on Facebook and Instagram at Alison Tait Writer. And you, Val?
You will find me at Valerie Koo, that's K-H-O-O, on Twitter and Instagram. And feel free to connect with me on Facebook as well. Just search for Valerie Koo. I'm the one in Sydney. And it'd be great for you to connect with us and let us know what you think of the podcast. In the meantime, you can also check out all of the show notes at soyouwanttobeawriter.com.au. And have a great week, and we look forward to chatting to you again next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to So You Want to Be a Writer. You'll find the show notes at writerscentre.com.au/podcast, or sign up for our awesome and often hilarious weekly newsletter at writerscentre.com.au/news, where you'll find writing resources, giveaways, competitions, and much more.